And now to the gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark, in the 4th chapter and the 26th verse. He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. When the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up, becomes the greatest of all shrubs, puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke to them as if they were able to hear it. May the Lord bless to our hearts and to our understanding the reading of his word. Happy Father's Day. It was suggested back in 1910, but unlike Mother's Day, it took a long time. 1972, President Nixon finally made it a national holiday. Of course, it's on Sunday, which is everybody has off anyway. It's otherwise described as men's second Christmas. By one definition, a father is a man who carries photos where his money used to be. Or if his kids have watched Jimmy Kimmel and they've served him breakfast in the shower this morning, which is about the same as last year spraying him with water at an unexpected time, so that a whole nation can watch Dad being humiliated. The gift of technology. To be a male in today's society is downright confusing. Not one is righteous, it would seem. In the Presbyterian Church's Human Sexuality Report, the only phrase that appeared more than justice love was patriarchal. So the current PC synonyms seem to be male, fail, boy, toy, dad, bad. A report by David Pompano cited studies that suggest over 30%, 37% of American children go to sleep without being able to say goodnight to dad. But fortunately, technology has given us Skype. The Bible identifies God as Father in the Old Testament 25 times, but generally is related to the Father of the nation. The Bible is replete with examples. In the New Testament, Father is there 150 times. Abraham moved from place to place obeying God. Moses moved out in search of a promised land. Joseph followed God's directions. Jesus refers to God as Abba. Dad, please God, for he is your loving father. I don't know what's bothering me, said 40-year-old Kent as he came into the consulting room. I've achieved many of the things that I set out to do in my life. I don't know why I'm trying so hard and why I'm still not happy. Well, on the outside, Kent looked and acted like an ad for the American dream. Dr. Joseph Venable reported he was successful, had a nice family, beautiful home. But as he opened up his inner world, these familiar male wounds came into view. There was a sadness in his smile, an uncertainty beneath the confident look. And though surrounded by people, he was lonely. Kent's life illustrates what Catholic priest Gordon Dalaby has called the tear in the masculine soul. A wound that is passed on from father to son when father is too remote to initiate his son into a positive masculine identity. A man with a masculine tear has learned that it is not manly to need anyone. I can do it myself, thank you. He must be able to face life alone, no outside help. He learns to live a solitary life and not ever to share his heart. A man with a masculine tear is detached from his inner world. And the Bible calls that inner world the heart, the center of feelings, motives, beliefs, values. That's the place that Christ dwells, from whence our spirit operates to heal our lives. It is that which our modern culture seeks to fulfill with godless Buddhist meditations and physical exercises. A man with a masculine tear suffers with the feeling he's not manly enough. The force is not with him. He moves a Dillon-Storm roof to buy a 45 Magnum, enter a place of worship, and kill 9 innocent people because blacks were taking over the world, and he wanted to start a race war. For most men, money is the measure of man. And there comes that time in his life when he has to choose between the family self and the Ferrari 900 horsepower. But winning means everything. All you have to do is ask the New England Patriots or the U of M Athletic Department. Did you notice that Hubba is on the page every single time? What happened to D'Antonio? I don't know. Work and success make men's goals. Work proves they're worthy of love. To heal the tear, men must discover and live out a more positive masculine example. Where are they going to find that model? Christ's example supports relationships rather than remoteness. Our worth is assured by the love of God, not a balance sheet. Culture says to live is work. Faith says to live is Christ. The lesson is found in Jesus' parable of sowing. In the farmer and the seed, he is referring to the kingdom of God. And he describes that farmer. He scatters the seed, but then he could sleep. He could rise night and day. The seed was sprout, grow. He knew not how, but still he planted the seed. Well, we're a little smarter now. We think a little, know a little bit more, and put those chemicals and all those things in. But organic farming is there. See, there's a mystery to the business of living. Despite all of our technological advances, the mystery of life remains. The Bible teaches us to trust in God. We must please God. Just as the secret of life and growth are within the seed, so God is at work in our lives. In the Old Testament, Samuel is instructed by God to anoint a new king. Samuel looked over those 7 sons Jesse presented, and he picked the firstborn. He looked rugged, he was strong, good-looking. God said, no. Man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. Well, each son kept getting the same response. Nor has the Lord chosen this one. Finally, David's called in from the fields, and the Lord says to Samuel, rise and anoint this one. He is the one. And we're told the Spirit of the Lord came upon David with power. What is valued by God is a right heart. By that act, the boy was bound God and given a new vision, God's vision. We say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Men, women, and children bound to God with a new vision of the kingdom of God. That vision includes the harvest. And they shall come from north and south and east and west to sit at table. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. And he instructed us in how to become citizens of that kingdom. We can't earn our way into the kingdom of God. The 1% cannot buy their way into this kingdom. For we depend solely upon God. Jesus took that little child and set him in the midst. The humbly depend upon God, as a child depends upon his father and mother. In God's kingdom, God rules. God orders life. God's will is done. Now, we don't always understand God's ways. But God's ways are not our ways, and we have but to trust in him. In Mark's story of the farmer and the seed, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we can see that this was a time of the persecution of Christians. The time is about 70 A.D. Nero's completely mad. What is a Christian to do? Christians in Ethiopia today and in the Sudan must flee. Christians throughout the Middle East are fleeing. Multi-millions living in camps and fear. The litany of persecution against religious faith is well documented. From gulags of Stalin, furnaces of Dachau, sandy beaches of Libya, the atmosphere in our own intellectual centers, with disdain and mockery abounding under the rubric of separation of church and state. How is it that those families in Charleston could look at Dillon roof behind that glass, flanked by 2 armed guards, wearing a bulletproof vest, and say to him, I forgive you? The pastor's daughter put it, we're a spiritual family. We forgive you. An overall mood in Charleston. And it didn't come from secular matters. Can't we all just get along? As people of faith, they gathered in sympathy and prayer. Well, Dylan won't escape punishment. But as another family member put it to him, if you be converted, if you become a Christian, you will become a new person altogether. We are told Dylan showed no emotion. A hollow man. Until we stop trying to be gods and goddesses, until we cease making decisions apart from the will of God given to us in His Word, until we stop thinking that anything goes because I think so or I say so, we will never be ready to live in the kingdom of God, and neither will our children. The late biblical scholar Elizabeth Ackermeyer stated, a child who has not been taught right from wrong is not fit to be loosed on this society. A child who has not been disciplined is a child without limits on his or her selfishness. A child who has not been loved, encouraged, praised, and hugged is a child who cannot love others. A child who has not been taught that there is a sovereign God to whom he or she is responsible is a child that will never use their God-given talents wisely or have a meaning for their life. A good father? Children want and need our testimony. They want to look at their parents and see beacons to God. Karl Barth, the famous theologian, was once asked how he knew what he was teaching was true. He said, because my mama told me, because my daddy told me. You see, children look into our hearts. They look for the God that reigns there. You and I plant seed. Then we trust in God for the harvest. My favorite author, Mr. Anand, penned this. Yeah. God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of the tree, the warmth of the summer sea, the calm of a quiet sea. The generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of an eagle's flight. The joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of family need. Then God combined all these qualities when there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. My friends, men, heal that tear. Parents, plant that seed. And may all of us please Almighty God, for it is to his glory that we have been called to serve. Amen.